the word faith is used as an excuse for laziness, disorganization, and being ill-prepared for what God brings in our direction. So what are you going to do, brother? I was just going by faith.
This is Straight Talk.
Good morning. This is Mark Job. Good to be with you on Straight Talk once again. You know, I was thinking today that some of the radio listeners, some of you that hear me right now, God is speaking to your heart and trying to get your attention. And I want to just encourage you, if you know God and you've tasted the goodness of the Spirit of God in your life and you have bowed your knee and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but right now you're sleeping with your girlfriend on the weekends, you're going out to bars, juicing it up, you're stuck in some pornography addiction, you're hanging around with the wrong friends and just not living the way that you know God has called you to live, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to turn around. It's time to step into your call, because I can guarantee you the way you're living right now, if you're a child of God and have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are one miserable person. You're not happy. And deep inside, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit letting you know, this is not how I'm supposed to be living. This is not who I am. So today, I want to challenge you through these airwaves and this radio program, I want to challenge you. It's time to turn around. Don't wait another day. Hebrews says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so I want to challenge you. Today you've heard the voice of God through my voice. Do not harden your heart. Listen, repent, turn around.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue our study in the book of Nehemiah with the second half of Pastor Mark's message called The Hand of God. Our text will be continuing in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. Here's Pastor Mark.
I'm in a tough marriage. Hey, do you realize that God uses tough marriages especially to mold our character? I want you to know something right now, that you are not wasting your time. If you're living in the center of God's will, that God is using whatever life experiences you are going through right now, this moment, this week, to prepare you for the future of what God has called you to. Your experience and your trials will not be wasted if you allow God to use them for his purposes. Life is lived looking forward, but it's understood as we look backwards. Are you tracking with me? You understand life looking forward. That's how you live it. But you really comprehend what's going on as you look backward. I see it in my own life. I never thought, if you were to ask me in college, hey, what are you going to be doing 20-some years from now? I'm 43 years old. If you were to ask me when I was 18 years old, hey, do you think you'll be in Chicago? Do you think you'll be planting churches? Do you think you'll be doing a ministry? I would have said, are you crazy? No way. When I was about 18, 19 years old, I was thinking about the medical field. God got a hold of me then a little bit later. I was thinking I was going to go back to Europe. I lived in Europe, grew up in Europe. That's where I planned to go. I didn't like Chicago, didn't want to be in Chicago. But yet I look back and I say, God was preparing my heart years ago for what I'm doing right now. You say, how's that? Well, you know, when I was 6 months old, my parents moved to Costa Rica to learn the Spanish language. And then they moved to Chile, and my father got involved in planting churches in some rustic places in the mountains of Chile. When I was 6 years old, they moved to Spain and began to plant churches in Spanish-speaking language in the country of Spain. And when I was 17, I came to Chicago to go to school, not because I wanted to be in Chicago, but because God orchestrated it. And so I was bilingual growing up. Little did I know that 20-some years later, we would be in Chicago, that four of our congregations would be Spanish-speaking. Little did I know that as God was moving me from country to country, I lived in France for a while, worked here, worked there. Little did I know that our ministry would be multi-ethnic, multicultural, diverse in the city of Chicago. Little did I know that as God was bringing me to school in Chicago, that God was preparing me to stay in Chicago. Little did I know that. Little did I know as I was watching my father plant churches and start works, that God would actually use that to help me begin to plant and start other works in the future. Little did I know that what I was living through, God was actually preparing me for what I'm currently doing right here and right now. Isn't it amazing? did I know that God was giving me an education to do exactly what I'm doing right now. I didn't understand that. I didn't know. Hey, guess what? Guess what I studied right now? God opened the doors about a year and a half ago to start a radio program. You know what I studied somewhat in college? Audiovisual communications. Little did I know. In fact, I got out of the field. I said, I'm never going to use this. This is just... Little did I know that I would be in audiovisual communications a few years later. You see, I didn't know all that, but God was using pieces in my history, in my puzzle, to prepare me for what I'm doing right now. And every single one of you, I believe, has a similar story. If you were to look at your past and trace what got, how you've gotten to the point that you're at, your story is a preparation for your present. And God will use it in your future if you allow Him to use it. You see, in Nehemiah, you looked at him, he didn't think much about what he was doing, but yet little did he know that God had prepared him to get the ear of the king, that God was orchestrating circumstances so that as a Jewish individual, son of slaves, that he would grow up in the palace and know very intimately the workings of the king and have favor with the king and have a Jewish background so that one day he could go back to Jerusalem with the resources and blessing and authority of a non-Jewish king to build the city of Jerusalem. Little did he know what God was doing in his life. Look at back at your life. Begin to understand how God has prepared you for what you're currently doing. Thirdly, I want you to jot this down. When God opens doors, be ready to walk through them, prepared with a specific plan. You see, it tells us in Scripture that then the king and the queen sitting beside him. By the way, it's interesting. Some scholars believe that Artaxerxes' wife, when it says the queen, was actually Queen Esther. If you read the book of Esther, she was raised to a prominent position as a Jewish woman, even though the king didn't know she was Jewish when he married her, as a Jewish woman and had a real heart for her people. And some scholars believe that this is actually Queen Esther, or if it's not Queen Esther, then it was Artaxerxes' father or grandfather that had actually married Queen Esther, because they're contemporaries of that time. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" And it pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. And then I said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide a safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Give me a passport. And I may have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence that I occupy, and give me all the construction material that I need to rebuild Jerusalem. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." Now here's what I want. I wish you could hear me this morning. Oh, because I can't preach it good enough for you to hear it well. A lot of us spend a lot of time asking for open doors, but very little time figuring out what we're going to do when God actually opens those doors. Some of you young men, you've been praying for 5 years, "Oh, God, give me a wife. Oh, Lord, I really need a good one. Please, Lord, a wife, I need a wife. You know, Lord, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've pursued, open the doors." Every church service you go into, every evangelistic meeting you go into, you go to the first service saying, "Lord, is she here? Show me a sign." And you kind of think there's going to be a little heavenly arrow, this one. So you go to the second service, "Lord, maybe she doesn't come to the first service. I missed her. She's in the second service." Some of you don't even speak Spanish, but you're going to the Spanish service thinking, "Oh, Lord, maybe she's in the Spanish service. Give me the gift of interpretation or the gift of tongues, Lord, because I really need a wife." And you've been praying so hard, so long, so intently for a wife. But well, hold on, time out. I'm glad you want an open door for a wife, but don't you think you should get a job? Excuse me, young man. Don't you think like you should move out of your mother's house? Hey, I know you want a wife, but don't you think you should get your act together a bit? Don't you think you should save a little money so that if you actually get married, you're not going to have to ask her dad to pay the bills for the wedding? and get a loan to get a wedding ring. Hey, excuse me, young man of God, that's great that you're getting married, but I don't think she's going to fit on the back of your bicycle. Maybe you should get a car that she could ride in. Hey, here's the point, folks. Sometimes we pray for an open door, but we're not prepared for the door that God opens for us. We don't get ready for that open door. We're not prepared for the things that we're praying for. We're asking for an open door, but we're not ready. If God were to throw open that door, we're really not ready for the opportunities that God provides for us. And don't tell me that you're walking by faith, because here's what I find, that oftentimes in the Christian subculture, that faith, the word faith, is used as an excuse for laziness, disorganization, and being ill-prepared for what God brings in our direction. So what are you going to do, brother? I was just going by faith. What are you going to live on? Faith. Let's just call it what it is. You're ill-prepared. You haven't planned. You're not ready. Don't blame it on God and faith. Just say, hey, I take responsibility. I mean, I dropped the ball, man. I overspent. I have no budget. I'm not really ready. Face it for what it is. If God opens the door, you need to be ready and prepared and in place and have things and have a plan. Because here's what happened. The king said, Nehemiah, what do you need? And I tell you, Nehemiah said, I'm glad you asked. He pulls out his list. You know, by the way, can I get a letter from you to do this? And I need timber for this. And he had been thinking about this. He had a plan. He had something in his mind that was going to happen. Over the years, I've grown a little wiser. And I have to admit that in my younger days, you know, I was sometimes said I was moving in faith, but I was just ill-prepared for life. Maybe that's why for the first 4 months of my marriage, we slept on the floor because I didn't have a mattress, I didn't have a bed. Seriously. You say, oh, that was faith. No, that was foolishness. Ill-prepared. But that's what, as I grow older, I realize that I want to be prepared for the doors that God is opening for us. You know, in the last 7 months, I mentioned to you, we've opened 3 new, brand new campuses that we've started. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't just happen. We prayed that God would open the doors, but we prepared for them as well.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Hand of God, which is from our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, and our message is called The Hand of God.
Those campuses required a rehabbing of the building. In fact, each of the campuses that we've started over the last several years, we haven't taken up one single special offering for those campuses, have we? You know how each one of those campuses, what those campuses cost? Between $100,000 to $150,000 to get the building ready, prepared, rehab, audio, visual, word out in the community, and everything ready for the grand opening. You know why we haven't had to take up any special offerings? Because 2 years ago, God spoke to our heart, get ready. And so we started putting a fund aside called the Launch Fund. Yeah, absolutely. Some folks get excited about it. Get excited that on Sunday we say, hey, folks, we need to take up an offering because, you know, we have this opportunity. We have no money. Please help us. You haven't heard us say that. You know why? Because God laid on our heart, prepare, get ready, put some money aside, have a plan. Each of these grand openings that we've done, we started with a calendar 3 months ahead of these grand openings, week by week, month by month, what we should do to get ready for it, because I believe that people of God, godly people, need to be good stewards and plan if God is going to open their doors. Now, there's a definite tension between trusting God and our own plans. James tells us that we are not to say, well, today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that, I'm going to make plans, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You need to say, if God wills, I will go and do this. So here's the tension between faith and our plans. If you depend and trust in your plans above God, then you are in sin. You need to, if you don't plan and simply say, I'm trusting God, you are walking in foolishness. So what we do is we prepare our plans to the best of our knowledge, and we invite God's presence and in power into our plans, saying, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You make your plans, but you invoke the presence and the power of God to orchestrate your plans and to go ahead of you, because you can make the best plans in the world, but unless you invite God, they're nothing. Amen? That's what it tells us in Psalms, and that's what it tells us in Proverbs. In fact, you might want to jot this verse down. It tells us I already read to you Psalms 27:13. Wait for the Lord, it tells us. But also, if you look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it says, in his heart a man plans his course, but God determines his steps. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans of man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 14, verse 8, out of the Living Version, I love this. It says, the wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. I love that. So what I'm saying to you is that we need to plan ahead. We need to prepare for God, what God opens. If God opens a door, are you ready to begin to rebuild? Do you have a plan? Do you have something in place? And lastly, I want you to write this down. This is huge. The favor of God will open unexpected doors, but remember that opposition will quickly follow. Here's what I want you to understand. Not everybody wants you to rebuild the ruins. It tells us in verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Some people have a vested interest in keeping you and your family and your neighborhood and your city in ruins. Let me tell you something, young lady. Not everybody wants you to get your act together. You know that abusive, critical boyfriend that lives his life and calls you up when he's a little lonely for a little sex? You tell him that you're getting your life together. You tell him that you're going to church now. You tell them that your pastor said that you're a woman of dignity, that you have value and worth, and that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you're not going to be sleeping with him like you used to sleep before, that you're not at his beck and call like some handmaiden or prostitute just ready for a call when he's lonely or he wants you, that you've learned that you have an identity, that you have a value, that you have a dignity, that you have a worth and value that's much more than just the worth of value of whatever guy you're with, and that you have boundaries in your life, and that you can say no now, and that you don't need him calling you up whenever he needs a little something. You tell him that, and let me tell you, he won't be cheering the fact that you are getting your life out of ruins and have some dignity and worth and value to your life. Because he doesn't want you to reconstruct the ruins. He likes you a little dysfunctional. He wants you a little bit confused. He wants your dignity to be low. He wants you dependent. He's not cheering you and on and saying, yeah, I'm glad you're in a woman's Bible study. Yay, I'm glad you're going to church. Yeah, get your act together. He's got a vested interest in keeping your life in ruins. Let me tell you something. Your creditors don't want you to start rebuilding your financial life. You know what? They make a good living off of the interest and high interest that you pay on your credit card accounts. They don't want you to get a budget. They don't want you to start getting out of debt. They don't want you to learn to start getting your finances together. They don't want you. They like you in ruins. hey, your ex-spouse isn't necessarily going to be cheering and saying, rah, rah, I'm glad you got your life together. Because, you know, their life is a little bit of a mess. And so they're not so happy when you start getting your life in order. They're not saying, yes, I'm glad they're prospering, because misery loves company. Hey, the old boys from the neighborhood, when you start saying that you're getting your act together, that you've stopped hanging out at those low-life bars, and that you're not getting drunk every weekend, and don't call you up if they're looking to sell a line of cocaine, that you're not into that anymore, that you're cleaning up your act, that you're working a job that you don't just come to in the morning, but that you wake up in the morning, and you don't knock out at night, but you go to sleep at night, that you're not in that addiction life anymore, that you're not perpetuating that life anymore, they're not going to be cheering you on and say, hey, yeah, I'm glad that you're getting your life out of ruins. Don't expect them to be the cheerleading crowd, because not everybody wants your life to get out of ruins. Some people like the way you are. Some people want you to stay the way you are. Some people want certain communities to be ghettos. Some people feed off of ghetto mentality. Some people could care less if 17, 18-year-old minority kids are being shot in the head because of some brutal gang violence and turn their heads, and it doesn't really matter that much to them. When we bought this old factory building that you're sitting in right now, this 84,000 square foot building, many people in the community were super excited that we were coming into this place, but there were people that rose up in vehement opposition that we would turn this old factory into a community center church and a place that ministers to the community. And I was flabbergasted. Why would someone be opposed that we would buy a building for $2 million and try to rehab it for a couple other million dollars to benefit this community? Why would someone be opposed to that? I can't understand it. You know what they said at the community meetings? We're going to have traffic problems on Sunday morning. A traffic problem? Is that the best argument that you can come up with? I'm going to tell you, not everybody's excited that you're rebuilding. But I close with this. Listen, I want you to hear me well. God has called you to be a rebuilder. God has called you to be a rebuilder. And the moment you get up and dust yourself off and said, I've had enough of this, I will not let my life, my family, my community, my city lie in ruins. I've had enough of this. You get up, you dust yourself off a little and said, I'm going to start rebuilding. You start grabbing bricks, you start laying them one on the other, and I can guarantee you, oh so help me God, I can guarantee you, you will have people that will try to blow your bricks down. You will have people kicking dust in your face. You'll have people laughing at it and saying, oh wow, this looks like a real diddly of a job. You'll have people whining, complaining, breaking, criticizing, wanting you to stay in ruins, because every time that God wants to rebuild, there will be people that will rise up, some close to you, some far, some friends, some enemies, some family, some people you don't even know, that will rise up and resist any work of God that tries to rebuild life, families, and communities. Just expect opposition, so you might as well get used to it. And a rebuilder says, hey, I know I will be opposed, but by God's power and His name, I will rebuild.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the conclusion of his message called The Hand of God. It's from our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.